And obviously we need to do this with the right attitude, on the basis of a well-developed mind, a concentrated, expanded mind, bright with positive emotion, with metta and awareness. We look with that attitude. And then we can really see with truth, with insight. As the text says, we see with insight. We see with insight. It's not ordinary seeing, we see with insight. The word is panya, also translated as, can be translated as wisdom. And insight, seeing, are good words in a way to describe what the dawning of wisdom is like. When we see something, it's direct, it's unmediated, it's right there before us. We don't need any kind of words, it's a direct apprehension. And wisdom is like that. It's not ideas about impermanence. It's not words about impermanence. We've used words, we've used reflection. But in the end, it's a direct, right, straight, direct communication of that truth. So the metaphor of sight, of insight, of seeing is very good to get over that unmediated quality. And sight, of course, is the opposite of blindness. Blindness is a synonym for unknowing, for ignorance in Buddhist tradition. And when we open our eyes, when we wake up from sleep, sleep is another synonym for unknowing, for not seeing. The dawning of wisdom is like coming out of a dream into reality. But we also have to remember that the language of seeing and insight has its limitations. When wisdom dawns, it's not you looking at something over there. It's not you separated off, considering impermanent.
Oh, everything is impermanent.
And, you know, you're sort of over here and that's over there. The realisation of impermanence, insight into impermanence, is in you and around you. It's sort of burned into your being. It pervades all experience. That's what the wisdom of impermanence is like. The wisdom of impermanence is impermanence becoming familiar to you as breathing. Keats, I think this is the phrase he uses this phrase of the experience of you know, involved in writing poetry, is it's felt on the pulses. It's felt on the pulses. So that's, you know, the wisdom of impermanence is felt on the pulses. This might dawn slowly over time. It probably will mostly be like that as we apply ourselves gradually. But there might be just sudden breakthroughs, sudden seeings. You know, the classic case is, you know, Milarepa's pot breaking. And he just sees impermanence and hails his pot as his teacher, the teacher of the impermanence of all things. Obviously, only that can happen through his concentrated attention on that subject. And when this realization dawns, the effect, as the verse has it, is to make one weary of suffering. Weary of suffering. The word weary is a translation of the Pali nibbida, which can also mean turning away. Turning away. Turning away from suffering. We suffer so much because we regard the impermanent as permanent. You know, we just haven't really got it that the impermanent is impermanent. We project permanence onto the impermanent, and that causes so much suffering and pain. You know, however much we might tell ourselves that all is impermanent, emotionally we still believe that things and we ourselves are permanent. And we build a life thinking, believing, feeling that things are going to last forever. And we form not just connections with things and people, but deep attachments and clingings, become very dependent for our happiness and well-being and meaning from having these things and these people, that person, which are essentially impermanent. And when they go, when they're taken from us, or when we have to leave them, that causes so much suffering, so much pain, so much grief, so much sorrow. So we need to start to seeing the impermanent as impermanent. It's not that we should stop connecting and stop loving and stop living, but we need to do so in full awareness of the truth of impermanence. We love and live better and more truthfully when the truth of impermanence has been taken in. When we realise the truth of impermanence, we realise as well that we can transform ourselves, that there is no impediment to transformation. The text says, seeing the truth of impermanence is the way to purity. The way to purity. We don't get caught up in impurity, in states like greed and craving and anger. They just don't stick. We've seen through all that. Realising impermanence, if we could just see impermanence fully and completely, we enter the stream. We become a stream entrant. We enter the stream that just flows towards nirvana, towards enlightenment. So there's a kind of paradox here. We sort of gain permanence in our life, permanence in the sense of we are entering the stream that only goes to nirvana. It's permanence not in the sense of a fixed state. We gain permanence in terms of spiritual development, paradoxically, when we wake up to the impermanence of all things. The Dharma becomes firmly fixed in us when we see impermanence. So if we want permanence, if we want something reliable, paradoxically, we have to wake up to and really take on impermanence.